Welcome back to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sart.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It is great to be here. We have lots of really cool conversations.
Sometimes we have have some before, like, we even start recording.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we're like, hey, that could have been a show.
We literally just did that, but we're not going to go into that because, like, we could turn into something.
It's we filed it away. It's in the ideas pile right now.
Yeah, I'm going to, I guess I should get to writing notes on that. That could be next week. I don't know. No promises on that. But yeah, that's, we have, you know, with everything going on in the world, obviously the news has been slow, nothing happening.
Nothing's happening at all. Nothing really happening. All positive. Yeah, sure.
I would love for that to be.
Yeah.
There are some things that I do see. I would like to see more positives, but every now and then something will pop up, but that's not what we're talking about.
Right, no. And if you're new here to Share Truth by Scripture, the stuff we talk about, we try to kind of hone in on topics that are particularly of interest to Christians who may be, you know, 18 to about mid-30s age range, applicable to everybody. Anybody could listen and hopefully get some at least encouragement from what we talk about here. But there are some in that age range, there's questions and things that you encounter that you have to apply scripture to, you have to pray about, you have to figure out how does your faith intersect with this thing as you're growing into adulthood, as you're finding out what you want to do as a career, if you want to build a family and how to do that. There's a lot of stuff that comes up. One of the things for a lot of people this year has been, this has probably been their first time to vote. You know?
Yeah. I still remember my first time voting.
Me too. I think I do.
Here's the thing. I missed the first Obama.
Right.
The first time Obama was installed. I missed that election by just a hair.
We probably had the same. We probably voted at the same time. Like, our first voting was probably at the same election.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember being in high school. I was a senior in high school the first time Obama was elected. And that year I also had this government and economics class. So of course, like, we discussed hardcore. And I was so upset because my birthday wasn't until April.
Oh.
So I was just a few months shy.
Yeah, you were all revved up to... And then you couldn't participate.
Well, no, I mean, obviously I knew I wasn't going to get to vote. Right. I wasn't going to be 18 in time.
Right.
But it was a little bit of a disappointment because, like, we spent that year in class talking heavily, you know, like, that first few months of class talking very much about election stuff. Because, I mean, obviously that for a government class, you're going to talk about that.
Yeah, and it's a big deal. I mean, you know, everybody's parents is talking about it, you know, at home, and you hear it on the radio. It's just in people's minds, and it should be, because those are important things in our culture, especially the way we run things around here. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And you know where else this has all been discussed? Here at the American Family Association. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have plenty of radio programs that cover it, and our friends over at American Family News.
Yeah.
So if you want some good news coverage, go to afn.net, and, you know, you can connect with them through whatever social media platform you prefer, or just on their website. They're constantly posting stuff and covering it. And our friend, like, our people here spent election night, like, late
into the evening.
I was not one of them. Yeah. While they were up here doing that, I was I was like out cold.
Yeah.
I voted. I did my part. Yeah. There's nothing else I can do.
I was asleep, and my wife woke me up, and she told me, "Hey, Trump won," and I was like, I'm a father of three, so give me grace. I didn't have any big reaction. I was just like, oh, okay, and then I just rolled over and went back to bed. But like
I'm
in
tired.
The morning, it all sunk in. I was like, oh, okay, well, this is the direction we're headed in. Cool. But yeah, it was really funny. If my grandkids ever asked me, where were you, you know,
dead
on that
asleep.
Fateful night? I was like, I was snoring.
See, I don't have any children. I don't have anything. I was just, I mean, like, all I have is a cat that doesn't like me.
Hey, don't underestimate cats.
She doesn't like me. She doesn't like people. So it's not like, she does not spend time with me. So right. It's just me I'm worried about. I'm in bed. Like I said, I did my part. I went and voted. I hope that if you were able to vote that you could go out and you exercise that right to do so. Mm-hmm. But I went and did my voting, and then I just went home. I mean, like, what else am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
There you go.
So I think I took off that day. So like I was not even working that day. I went and spent the day with my sister and her kids. Mm-hmm. My mom, she's a stay-at-home mom, so sometimes when I get a chance, I like to spend the day with her and the kids. And so that's what I did. And then I went home, and like after that, I was like, what am I going to do? I can't do nothing. I can't do anything for them, so I might as well just go to bed, and I'll find out in the morning. And that's what I did.
And we did, and it was really interesting. And like you said, a lot of people here at AFA stayed up all night into the morning and covered it very well. Our good friend Chris Woodward from AFN as well was among those brave souls who did that.
And several others of our radio hosts were here making sure that you were kept up to date with what was going on. So. Yeah.
So we are entering in, I think, I always feel so weird after a presidential election because you have to remind yourself, oh, wait, that person is not president yet. We still have this guy over here.
Yeah, you still have a few months.
It's such an awkward time just in my mind. But we are entering in that time. I think it's a good time for Christians to remind themselves to, if you haven't been praying for your leaders, do so now because we are about
whether they're the one you voted for or not.
Exactly. That's definitely key. No matter who they are, you still have to obey the word of God, and that's what it tells you to do. But there's going to be a lot of switches happening. A lot of states are having the results have come in. They're getting new leaders, new representatives, and a lot of things are about to shift. And it's going to be not an easy time for a lot of people. I mean, this is all it's politically charged as much as anything could ever be. And so please be praying for your leaders, no matter who they are, no matter who you voted for. Pray for them that God would give them wisdom, that God would protect them, that God would give them hearts that truly want to seek what is best for the people here in our nation. And, ultimately, to, if they haven't already, to bow the knee to Jesus and to come to Christ. I mean, it would be such a comfort, wouldn't it, that, to know that our leaders love God, and we would love that to happen. But in the meantime, because we can't make that happen, we will definitely be praying for them, and we should. And while we're praying for them, take to the streets and spread the gospel. I think that's the most powerful political move that anyone can make is just preaching the gospel.
I think the biggest message I hope everyone takes from today is not that you should vote this way, you should vote that way.
Yeah.
It's that no matter who you voted for, hopefully you spent time in the word, you spent time with God praying for your decision and making sure you were going with a side that would lean more and not 100%. I don't think 100% either way.
that hasn't happened.
That you went with the route that you believe you're being led to, Lord.
Yeah.
And that, but also that no matter what, you're representing Christ.
Mm, yeah.
So in your reactions to other people, in your discussions, that even if you can have a disagreement, and still represent Christ in that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I was just not aware as much in previous elections. And I didn't come into full, what's happening in our society awareness until maybe when I was 17, 18-ish. I was fairly, inoculated to that, insulated.
I think we were all a little bit.
Yeah.
We had no idea. That's when you first start kind of seeing the things through adult eyes.
Exactly.
And you're no longer like the child and everything is happy and, you've been sheltered.
Yeah, definitely. Me included. But it just seems now when I go on Twitter, which is my social media platform of choice, just because that's the only one that exists for me now. That's the only account I haven't deleted yet. And so I go there and just my little perspective, it just seems like the anger and the hatred and the vitriol on, honestly, both sides is like multiplied by 100. now than it used to be. And it used to be, it has always been pretty bad, but it's been very discouraging to see just how this kind of thing can just bring out the absolute worst in people. And when I click on somebody's profile who has said something and I see a phrase saying something like Jesus is king or a little Bible verse there or a cross, and they've been saying really horrific things to people they just disagree with politically.
Yeah.
That is so heartbreaking. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what a failure. I mean, and you know what? This person might actually be a Christian who is just making some horrible decisions. But I think for me personally, I really hope that believers, true believers who know God and are doing their best to follow him are trying to keep themselves from stooping to that position and misrepresenting God in that kind of way. Any sort of backbiting, any sort of just anger or mockery or anything like that that would demean someone that you disagree with, even if they believe truly wicked things, just to pause and ask ourselves, what is Jesus's attitude towards this person?
Yeah.
What is Jesus's attitude towards people who don't know him? You know, and you don't have to go far to look. You look at the gospel, and a lot of people will say, well, real quick, you know, Jesus was pretty harsh to a lot of people. Well, yes, and I would say look at those individuals that he was harsh with. It was the people who knew better. Mm-hmm. It was the Pharisees. It was the people who studied the law. It was the people who, of all people, should have known God the best.
Mm-hmm.
And with the people who didn't, with the people who were outside of the family of God, the group, the people of God, he was gracious. He was gentle. He was kind. And it was not a tough kindness. It was a kindness that looked like kindness. And I really just want to encourage Christians to, if you feel the anger boiling up inside because someone said something really dumb on Facebook and you know that it's wrong and you know that it's wicked, sure, call it out. But before you do that, just pause, pray about it. Picture in your mind Jesus responding to this thing. What would that look like? And be honest, you know, and I think that tempering your response will go a lot further than you stirring up the pot with your witty one-liner trying to one-up somebody.
Yeah. Well, if you look at, what have you gained in that moment?
Yeah.
Whenever you do put that out there, other than that moment of satisfaction and everything. Well, if you look at each individual, if you look at the people who are posting online, and it's really, I mean, this has like been a super emotionally charged.
Really has.
Election. as it has been for a little while now, a lot of people are running on emotion and not on facts.
Yes.
And they're screaming out talking points, a lot of them that they have not researched.
Exactly.
And they don't know what's going on, and they're upset. Again, mm-hmm. if you look at those people and you realize that these people are souls lost and bound for hell.
Yeah.
How does that change your attitude at
right.
all?
Mm. Yeah. And it should.
Yeah. Do you not feel like this sorrow, this heartbreak about that? And I see there's lots of people. I get angry sometimes. I really do. I get angry when I see some of the posts, and I do. I'm a scroller.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I sit there and I scroll and I watch videos, and I do follow a lot of accounts that are political, and I've seen the reaction videos that have gone out about after this election. And I mean, part of me wants to feel mad, but then I'm also like really sad about some of the things that I've seen on both sides.
Yep.
And I see a lot of people who are just upset and lost, and maybe they've say things in the moment.
Yeah.
And all I know is that I want them to come to know to Christ.
Mm, yeah.
I want them to come to Christ and be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And if my reaction is to stitch their video on TikTok and go, "What an idiot! How close am I going to get to that goal?"
Exactly. And I think, yeah, it's It's the nature of politics to divide people. It's mm-hmm. the nature of politics to put people into camps, and then you have the loud voices in each camp pitting us all against each other, and you know that's kind of how this works. And there's a pro to that. I mean, it's good to have make sure not one group of people has all the power in a country. I mean, the founding fathers knew that, and they were really great when they designed the Constitution to make sure that didn't happen. But the kingdom of God is not like that. And so when we, as Christians, as people who believe Jesus, we're members of the church, we are bought with his blood, we have experienced the epitome of grace and mercy in our lives, completely undeserved. It wasn't because we were good people and God decided he wanted a lot of good people. We were and are wretched and sinful, and there's nothing about us that deserves to be saved. And so when we understand that, how can we then turn to someone who disagrees with us, even, you know, full of anger and hatred, disagrees with us on a political level, and then exclude them and treat them as if, you know what, I don't want to have anything to do with you, or I'm going to push you away, or I'm going to make sure that you don't feel like I am a welcoming person to you. You're not going to have from me the kind of grace that I received from God.
Mm-hmm.
That does not represent the God that we worship. That does not represent the God of the Bible. And like you said, that doesn't do anything to show them, hey, God does love you. The God that I have posted all over my Facebook page with all the Bible verses and checking into church and, you know, showing all the cute pictures of my kids in their Sunday clothes and all that stuff, that all crumbles if then our attitude towards people is anger and just devoid of grace and mercy and understanding. Doesn't mean that we don't stand up against falsehoods. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation flying around out there, and people honestly are genuinely scared because of crazy things that they're hearing. So what's the best thing to do is to share the truth about what's happening. Do your research, make sure you know what you're talking about, but do that in a way that is loving and kind and uplifting, even if this person is screaming in your face, to be honest.
Yeah. And they may not view it as uplifting either way.
Yeah.
Even if you do approach them in the correct manner,
right,
a lot of them are gonna still call you hateful.
Yeah.
And bigots. That's the word I see a lot of, and just a lot of other words that they use.
And if you're not hateful and a bigot, well, then you can just turn the other cheek, right? I mean, we are to expect that. I mean, Jesus said that the world hated him. It's going to hate us, you know? We are to expect that kind of treatment. We're not to be shocked or surprised or offended at that kind of a treatment. We should have known what following the example of Jesus is going to lead us to carrying crosses. So we need to be able to take up that cross daily and follow him. And that means being kind and being gracious and truthful to people who would never do the same for us.
Well, and just remember in every moment that you can't control other people's reactions. You can't control how they talk to you, but you can control yourself.
Exactly.
And exactly. I know, you get big emotions. I say, like, I'm talking to a kid. You have the big feelings.
Hey, I get big feelings.
I do. So when I see some of the things that have been posted or talked about, I mean, I do. I'm like, I mean, what is going on? You know? But I got to remember who I do get angry.
Yeah.
I do get angry. I have before started typing that little response on Facebook to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, who am I serving here?
Right.
what is this going to accomplish other than someone being mad at me and wanting less to do with me and what I believe than they did before?
Right. And what kind of example are you setting for other younger Christians who are maybe not as far along in their walk as you?
Mm-hmm.
A few
older Christians who are not as
exactly,
far
exactly. Well, a few episodes ago, we talked about setting an example for the children in our lives and how it's our responsibility as an adult to make sure that we are living out what it means to be a Christian. We're putting actions to the words that we're teaching them. like mercy, we're not just telling them to be merciful. We're showing them what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just telling them to love their neighbor. We're showing them what that looks like so that they can recognize it when they see it and so that they have had that modeled for them. But there's going to be a lot of people. I know this goes beyond social media, but I feel like that's just the prime example.
Yeah.
That's
what we do most of our communicating.
Yeah,
these
pretty
days,
much.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, pretty much. It is the town square now. but there are so many people who are friends with you, who follow you, or maybe just come across your post as they're scrolling, who maybe they are Christians and maybe they are haven't been Christians very long, and they are looking for people to set an example for them because right now that. Maybe they haven't attended church all their lives, or maybe this is a very new thing to them. And if they see Christians who have been Christians for most of their life, or who really, you know, display proudly that they follow Jesus, and they see how they're acting, and it's in a way that is contrary to the way the Bible tells us to act, then we're sending a very wrong message, and we're leading them astray. And we need to be very mindful of that.
Yeah. And also, just I think to throw in here a little tip when you are looking for different platforms to follow what's going on.
Yeah.
That not every conservative platform is a Christian platform.
I will say right now, Twitter is probably one of the more mainstream.
Yeah.
Moderate to conservative-ish now because of Mr. Elon Musk. It is definitely not a Christian platform.
Well, there are some platforms that I think are good for putting out truth.
Yeah.
As far as what's going on.
Right.
But maybe not good for you to model your behavior after.
Definitely.
Like the way they, like there's a lot of, like we said, like mockery and attitude in it, even in platforms that maybe are sharing like, here's what's actually happening.
Yeah.
But then they're mocking these people who disagree with them,
yeah.
And I don't really think that's the way.
Right.
So I just want everybody, like, be mindful of all those things. Again, keep it in your mind and your heart that you cannot control other people's reactions or their behavior, but you can control yours.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're heading into the holiday season. We're about to hit Thanksgiving here in a few weeks. And then after that... Well, Christmas has already started at my house. It's already started
here at the American Family Association. We have our tree up.
We have our tree up here at AFA and at my house. We did that not soon after, you know, the first of the month.
Which I'm okay with. Some people don't like that, but I'm like, you don't get to enjoy it for long if you don't.
Right. And it's for the kids. I mean, sometimes you just have to give them something to latch on to.
It's for you.
I know. That was my excuse. I love Christmas.
It's for you. The cats at the house, it's a constant fight.
Oh, yeah.
Just have please to get do not destroy this.
A cat-friendly tree with cat-friendly ornaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could, or we could just fight.
Or you could just fight, yeah. Well, speaking of fighting, so we're entering holiday season. A lot of us, hopefully, and are going to have some time with other people, family, friends. And especially with family, there's going to be people around the table at Thanksgiving dinner who you disagree with either moderately or a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's opinionated people there, they will probably dominate the scene with their opinions about what happened or what should have happened or why they're glad or why they're mad. And, you know, you might have a cousin or a nephew or a uncle or whoever who is going to bring a really bad attitude with them or just is ready to take out their frustration or their big feelings on everyone around them. And like you said, Cedra, you can't control what they do.
Yeah.
But you can control what you do.
Look, when they start a going, just slide a deviled egg in their mouth and move on. Like, here.
You're hungry. You need something.
You're
to
hungry.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know what, this depends on a lot of family dynamics. There's some families out there who are wide open with each other and are able to just talk about, hey, you know, we don't all agree, so let's just not talk about that kind of thing or whatever. Or, you know, just depending on your family dynamic, I think it would be good just to prepare yourself and other family members going into it to have the best time possible to try to glorify God as much as possible. And honestly, if things like this election and the politics surrounding it would not build anyone up in that scenario, don't bring it up.
Mm-mm.
Don't bring it up. It honestly doesn't matter
if
in
you
that
know
time.
That it's going to start a fight.
Yeah. And look, there are some fights worth having,
yeah.
But some things are more important than fighting.
Yeah.
And honestly, showing each other love is more important than winning an argument over a political issue.
But again, we also
in that family context.
We also encourage you to always share the truth.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Yeah.
We look.
Yeah.
It's in the name. It's in the name. Well, I know that we're about to run out of time mm-hmm. very soon. So I just want to remind everybody that if you enjoy this program, or if you don't, there are still tons of other programs
yeah.
to listen to. Go to afa.net where you can connect to everything that we do here, including our radio, our news, our blog/print magazine
yep.
called The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends at American Family Studios, they do our video work here, and they have
yeah.
tons of stuff, including a newer documentary called Culture Warrior,
yeah.
and it just tells the story of the founding of AFA
mm-hmm.
and the founder and how we came to be what
yeah.
we are today.
Absolutely. So there's no end of things to keep you preoccupied and to keep you informed, but also encouraged as we try to be the best examples of Jesus in our culture today. It's not easy, but with God's grace, we should. We can do it, and we can glorify Him. So thank you so much for listening. And until next week, continue to share truth. A plus for sure.